Welcome to the universe we call home, as well as others. Here, we collide the universes of fact and fiction. Are you ready to take it to the max?
Yeah.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. Max here. Zach.
Hello, yeah.
How's it going?
I'm doing great today.
And I think we'll cut right to the chase today. We got a fantastic episode, Dimensions and String Theory.
Yeah, these are definitely two very interesting topics that relate with one another, and they are, well, mostly unknown to a lot of people. Well, most people usually haven't heard of string theory. Dimensions, well, otherwise most people probably know them from the movies, really, but
yeah,
but
those dimensions don't work the same way, whether you're talking about the 3D, like, with those glasses,
yeah,
which, you know, that's also not the right dimensions, and also, if you're talking about, well, we will get to actual dimensions from movies, you know, fun yeah. Pop culture references, but it's not the way most people think about it.
Yeah, and so I think in the first half, we'll kind of explain dimensions and what they are, how they work, and is there more of them?
That's an interesting question, Zach.
Yeah, and then the second half we'll bring up the topic of string theory and how that, well, just brings everything together, or does it?
That's another interesting question right there.
Yeah, that's right. So I think we get right into it.
Yeah, so I think we start off with just talking about the world that we live in dimensions. So we'll start off with the three. So we have spatial dimensions and we have time dimensions. I want to get to the time dimensions later.
Yeah, those are definitely more complicated.
Complicated, definitely. But space dimensions. Well, let's start off with we have three.
We have the three main ones.
You have height, width,
and depth.
Now, obviously, that only means something here on Earth, but it's more like an X, Y, and Z axis.
Yeah, if you're looking at
axes.
Yeah, if you're looking at like a cube, the cube, of course, has depth, the cube has height, and the cube has width.
And it also has, it's shapes that have a three-dimensional volume. It has volume with
depth,
height. Yeah, exactly.
It has volume.
But a 2D shape could have volume. 2D shapes do have volume.
They do?
Yeah, you have the volume.
It's just, oh, right, yeah.
It's just, but you just don't have a height to it, or a depth to it, I guess.
Would there be volume with no depth, though?
Yeah, you could say, I think there's still volume. Or area, sorry, that's area.
Yeah, area, not volume.
So you can't have volume.
There's no volume on a two-dimensional square, that's for sure.
But, obviously, if you wanted to go up, Zach,
up or down a dimension?
What's up? Because I don't understand up that well.
Up as a dimension?
Yeah, like if you added a fourth dimension, a fourth spatial dimension.
Well, should we get into the spatial dimension right away?
Yeah, I want to get into the spatial dimension.
Well, I think the spatial dimension, well, it's obviously very complicated. Just definitely as a three-dimensional being, it's hard to even conceive that a four-dimensional thing would exist. You can really only picture it in some ways. And I think an easy way to describe what it would look like is, let's just say, a tesseract. So for those of you who don't know, a tesseract is a fourth-dimensional square. And then, actually, if you just want to pull up a picture of a tesseract, I think they're very interesting. And basically, I think we'll leave a link down below of a tesseract. It's a cube on the inside. And then it has just our lines, not what are the, they're points, right? No, not points.
Vertices?
Vertices, yeah. The vertices pointing out from all the corners in a 45-degree angle until they reach to another, there's another square, right? So it's basically a cube.
Within a cube.
Within a cube being held together by diagonal vertices at all the points.
But for a fourth-dimensional being, it would look normal. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be normal. And, well, basically the fourth dimension kind of states that you can see everything. I think that's the best way of putting it.
Well, not see everything.
See everything, but
see everything in the dimensions below you. So, Zach, can you give me an example of us looking to a two-dimension so we can kind of think about what a higher dimension being would look at us?
Yeah, I think if you, well, looking at it this way, it's actually a lot easier to picture what a fourth-dimensional being would be seeing if they look down on Earth. So, let's just say you have a piece of paper, right? And you draw your little stick figure, we'll call him Bob. And now Bob, of course, is living on this paper, and he's living in this, in a two-dimensional world. And we're just going to say Bob's conscious, obviously. And so now, let's say you draw a square next to Bob, right? You draw a square, so now you've got, on your paper, you've got Bob, and to the right of Bob, you've got a square. All right, so now if you came down to Bob's perspective, what Bob would be seeing, he would just be seeing a line, right? He wouldn't be seeing the entire square because he can only see the lines on the paper. He mm-hmm. can't see the entire square.
In addition, if you drew something inside that square.
Yeah, I'm getting to that. Okay. So Bob, the only way for Bob to truly know that this is a square is to take the measurements of the outside of the line, right, that he's looking at, and then walk around, assuming Bob can walk
How
on this paper.
How can you walk?
We're just assuming Bob can walk on the paper.
How do you walk around? Because this in a two-dimensional world, there is no depth to get around.
Super Mario.
Things. Yeah, but you can only go up for a certain amount.
Well, say your paper's standing up now.
Yeah, but
there's no depth. We'll just say it's standing up.
I know, but it's just weird to think about it that you can't really create a civilization in it because, well, you'll have to have really high jump heights in order to be able to get.
Yeah, I'd actually really like to see the two-dimensional. I hope there's some fourth-dimensional being just watching us, kind of laughing at us for not being able to create a true four-dimensional civilization, just as we would to a two-dimensional civilization. And so, yeah, now Bob has taken these measurements, just assuming he can. He's figured out that it's a square. And now you, in your three-dimensional world, you're going to draw a red ball, or a circle, inside of this square. So now, notice how you can see this circle inside of the square, right? But Bob, on the other hand, has no idea the circle's in there. The only way for him to know is to get rid of the lines.
Walls.
Yeah, the outside walls. They basically would be walls that have no height.
Yeah, okay, that's weird.
That'd be really weird, yeah. But if you can look at it that way, us in the third dimension can see that, but Bob in his second dimension can't. So now this exact same thing would apply to a fourth dimensional being looking at a three-dimensional world. So let's just take the same area. So now Max is standing next to this box. It's like a cardboard box. It's a cube, so you can put stuff in it, just as we could put this two-dimensional circle in the two-dimensional box. And now let's say, while Max isn't looking, I put a ball inside of the cardboard box. Now if you follow the same logic, a fourth-dimensional being would be able to
they
see that ball.
They have an extra dimension.
Yeah, they'd be able to see the ball, but Max couldn't.
What would they... So they'd see it differently than us, but what happens if they look at a two-dimensional shape? What does that look like to them?
Going down two dimensions, well, if we just try and, I guess, apply the same logic to us.
We can't even draw a square, though.
Yeah, I guess we can only draw
one line.
Yeah, a one-dimensional object is a line. So, again, who wants to see a civilization of lines just moving around in their line world? Lines and points, that's all there would be.
Yeah, and they would have absolutely no... width.
So yeah, I think, well, that's barely inconceivable for us.
So the same thing.
I guess that'd be barely inconceivable to them. So yeah, if you follow the logic, we can go down a dimension and then kind of assume it'd be the same thing for a higher dimension looking down on us.
That's weird.
It's very weird.
And one of my favorite things I've heard about this is that if that is true, and that's the way if we could find a way to access a fourth dimension, we would be able to do surgery without even cutting our skin.
Yeah, because you'd be able to go through.
Because we can see the insides of a 2D person.
Yeah, because there's really no... Like, say, pull out your... What's that? Like, that surgery game where you gotta, pull out the pieces of the guy's body without, setting off the trap?
Yeah.
Yeah, it would basically be that.
Because we can see, hypothetically speaking, we can see the circle inside the box, whereas... Everyone else that doesn't have the surgery technology, they have to break through the box.
But we can just take that circle out of the box, assuming we could grab the circle.
Assuming we could grab it. That is weird.
Yeah, and even you can't really grab a two-dimensional thing.
But, Zach,
if you draw it on paper.
If there was a two-dimensional world that actually existed, you would be able to just reach in and touch it.
Yeah.
And touch it.
Or
and
just
touch
to find it.
Touch it means that you can get it out, so at a certain extent, you'd be able to rip it out in some way without actually damaging the outside of the skin, which is weird.
Yeah, so now I just want to, before we move on to a higher dimension, or even just the talk about the fourth dimension, because it's just a complete, it's, like we said, it's inconceivable, because our three-dimensional minds can't really picture it, but we can try and make these situations where we go down a dimension. And there's one more, and I want to talk about if we were able to drag a ball through a two-dimensional world. So if I go and just get like a baseball and assume I can put stuff in and out of the paper, because mm-hmm. we'll just stick with the paper logic. The Bob, we'll go back to Bob. Bob, if we pull this ball through the two-dimensional world, Bob wouldn't see a circle, right? Because his mind is incapable of seeing spheres.
He would see a circle.
As the ball starts to rise through the paper, he would see short lines, because Bob only can see flat lines in his two-dimensional world. So you'd start to see flat lines slowly getting longer and longer and longer.
Why can't he only see flat lines?
Because he's in a two-dimensional... There's no height.
Oh, two-dimensional... Yeah. No, one-dimensional. Two-dimensional world can see height. They have just height and width.
I'm talking about on the paper. Height and width. Yes. No, it's length and width, not
height.
Yeah,
that can still have curved...
Length and width.
Length and width.
Oh, yeah, sure. Surely the lines can be semi-curved to make a circle, but they can't curve down, because there is no down.
What do you mean down? Height...
Two-dimensional is length and width, is it not?
Length and width is the exact same thing. It's height and width. Length and width.
Okay, yeah, but... Height and width. It just depends on where you're looking.
You can create a circle on a piece of paper, can you not?
Yeah.
So, therefore, you've created height and width. You can draw anything height and width.
Yeah, but for the sake of the argument.
No.
But just for the sake of...
That doesn't make sense. You can have a circle on a computer screen... Without any trickery whatsoever, it is a circle, because...
But you're looking at it from the three-dimensional thing, so you're seeing that circle.
No, I would not be... You'd be seeing a sphere, but can't comprehend the depth of it, or the actual, like...
You'd be seeing a curved object.
You'd see a curved object.
Yeah, but I never denied that.
No, you did! You said a bunch of little lines. You didn't say circle.
Yeah, but the lines would keep gradually getting smaller and bigger... they'd start small, get big, and then they'd start getting small again until it came out. That's assuming you're pulling a ball and going up through the universe, or their two-dimensional universe.
Well, it'd just look like a circle coming up, wouldn't it?
No, because they can't see circle, or spheres.
Yes, they can't see circles! It doesn't matter if it's a sphere. Circles exist in their world.
Fine, well, say they can, well, the circle...
How do circles not exist in a 2D world, Zach?
Alright, fine. You win there.
Please explain to me.
Well, I just said you won. What are you trying... I have nothing else to explain.
I know, but I just don't even get how you got that logic in the first place.
Well, I was trying to make lines, but apparently they're circles now.
Well, so there are circles, because... Man.
So the circle... Yeah, well, I think I've kind of butchered the entire point, so I think we'll just move on.
Yes, please do. Sorry, Zach.
Yeah.
But I just don't... sorry, I should probably stop it.
Well, what point do you want to get into next?
Well, I just want to say... I will try and sum up what you said, just see if I can... Just tell me if this is right, because I just don't want the viewers to not understand what we're trying to say here. So you take let's say we take a cube, because there's no arguments about cubes.
All right, fine. We'll go and we'll take a cube this time.
If you have a cube on an angle, well, we can see it has depth with height, right? Height.
Sure. Right.
But when you put it through them, they can only see a diamond, or they just can't see that depth. Because imagine you have a cube, and it's facing you, and now you tilt it forward, and then you tilt it to the side. So now that you can see like a height, width, depth, and it looks like sort of like if you looked at the outline of it, a diamond, because you can see that it sticks out to the front.
All right.
Because you have now the side, and the front, and you get all these height, width things. But for them, they can only see that outline. They can't see the depth that you see, right? And then. As you drag it through, you see it, but they can only make out a flat object.
Yeah, but I was using the circle just to demonstrate the thing getting smaller and bigger to show that it was a true sphere, instead of a square that would just pass through and be the same size all the way through.
Wait, what's the thing with the sphere?
Well, the sphere, just like you were saying, it just, as it goes in and out, because the sphere is curved on the top, it would get smaller as you first drag it through, and then gradually get bigger until you reach the center, and then when you keep dragging it through...
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say there.
And also, if you brought it into the foreground, you would see... If you saw, like, a pixel-by-pixel kind of view, you'd see the first layer of it, and then when it came forward, not only would it seem bigger, but you'd also see the second layer, making it even larger. So you'd think, well, why is it getting both... more than larger than I should be seeing. And as it keeps getting closer, you know, you'll see more layers of it until you reach that outside part, but it's also still getting closer and bigger. So you know what I'm trying to say, right?
Yeah, it's weird.
It's hard for us to comprehend this kind of stuff. I mean, it's...
Our minds were never built to do it.
We live in a three-dimensional world, but the thing is, at least we have the ability to comprehend and at least think about what it would be like to exist in a two-dimensional world, and in some sense, a four-dimensional world.
Yeah.
Now, can I talk about time?
Time dimensions? And how... Yeah, sure, why don't you bring up time, and then so, I think that will slide in nicely to the fourth dimension.
Yeah, so we... So in an episode about time, you could probably find it if you just went to our channel.
Whatever. Shameless plug.
Shameless plug. Also, speaking of shameless plugs, please email us.
And we're desperate for emails. We'll answer any questions about
anything,
space and time. And
honestly, anything. Anyway. Honestly, anything. We're, anything we're science. Anything pop culture, anything.
We'll please. Try and answer it. Try and answer. We're trying to make a segment where we answer viewer questions at the start of the episodes, but the problem is we don't got any questions to answer. So yeah, if you want to help contribute there, to the maxpodcast09
at gmail.com.
All right, now getting into Max's point.
So anyways, time has always been considered, well, now, since general relativity, to be a dimension that we exist in. You've never been in a time without a place, nor a place without a time, right?
Right.
And... This was obviously one of the big theories about general relativity.
It was revolutionary.
Not only is space warped, but time is too in the object of...
They come together and they work together,
yes,
as one. There's no space without a time and no time without space.
But this brings up the question, is it possible to live in multiple time dimensions? The way that I can stand up, and I've moved up in height, now I'm going to move... Width-wise, now I'm going to move length-wise. I've just moved in three dimensions.
Right. Now where do you go now for the fourth?
Well, imagine if I could step into a time dimension, walk through time as easily as I can walk through space. For some beings, that has to be possible. It has to exist like that. Or at least it would make sense if it was possible, would it not?
Yeah, if it was there. I mean, if it was always there, it would be pretty easy, but... We just can't conceive it right now.
Yeah, but I think the thing is, if general relativity is 100% true and we're believing that space and time are really intertwined, well, this would make sense. They are both dimensions, and if we live in a three-dimensional world, why can't... We do live in a technical four-dimensional world, space-time, but yeah. Imagine a being that has six dimensions, but three of them are space and three of them are time. That seems conceivable. In fact, far more conceivable, but less conceivable. That's weird to think about. So that means
it's
the past,
that
everything's always happening. And they can just go back and relive things or go to the future, exist anywhere, anytime. Oh, man.
Yeah, they have a lot. They have access to everything. Well, I think...
But just like us, we have boundaries. I cannot walk through a wall.
Max trying to walk through a wall. Smacks his head on the wall.
So,
adding to the brain damage.
What if they have... Zach, there's nothing they can do to my brain that hasn't been done.
Yeah.
So what if they have boundaries as well? It's time.
Well, there's obviously, if there's a dimension higher, which String Theory likes to talk about, but we're not there yet, there'd clearly be a barrier. But, of course, we can't conceive it because we're not a fourth dimensional
being.
Well,
I'm talking about time. Time dimensions, if they might have a barrier the same way we have physical barriers here.
They might have time barriers.
Yeah.
But maybe a fifth dimensional being doesn't.
No, they'll still have barriers. They
but just not the same barriers.
Not the same barriers. Our barriers will seem stupid to them. You know, dimensions is just weird.
It's just very weird. It's all weird.
So I want to talk about the possibility of actually other beings existing in other dimensional combinations.
At least in our universe.
We can obviously get into other universes later.
Yeah.
So what do you think?
Well, I mean... As we know now, there's four dimensions, and I don't think that in a four-dimensional universe that there could really, as until proven wrong, there could be any being in a higher dimension.
Well, but one thing I've heard, atomic bombs being dropped behind us.
Yeah.
One thing I've heard is it's possible to live in a pocket of a
just
universe.
A little space that has...
Like, imagine a three-spatial dimension universe like we live in, being a pocket of a four-dimensional universe, like a larger one.
Oh.
We're just a small part of it that's inside it.
Maybe that's where we're special.
Exactly. And because maybe we just can't exist and comprehend the other dimensions, and we've just
That's why formed. We're subject to this part.
Exactly.
Maybe that explains why the universe is expanding. Maybe it's just the fourth dimension, and it's just the fourth dimension telling us we can't go there, and there's no point going there because you won't get there.
Yeah.
But that could just be a lie.
But I think the thing is, even in our conceived three-dimensional world, there could be just other dimensions that are just open to see, and we just can't see them. So I think it's very possible that... these sci-fi writers would love to say it's very possible that there are some beings that can exist in other... in other dimensions.
Well, I think that'd be pretty cool, would it not? I mean, especially if they didn't treat us like just in what's the word?
Inconsequential.
Yeah, and didn't care about us. If they cared about us, I think that'd be pretty cool. But if they don't, then, I'd be a bit scared. But yeah, I think that would be really cool. Just to see if that is possible.
Yeah. Oh, man. My brain stopped working. So, I want to just talk about some popular dimensional theories, in like movies and stuff. And not necessarily theories because they're not true, but like different dimensions. The way dimensions in real science is completely different from the dimensions in movies.
Yeah.
Now, most movies have, it's hard to explain in terms of science, but they have things like the dark dimension. Even I'd consider hell to be a different dimension. And what about parallel universes? Are those are sometimes considered different dimensions? And
well, I mean, not necessarily. I wouldn't necessarily say dimensions, but more as a place where there could be different dimensions.
I think
like a placeholder.
I think especially when you look at movies, would you say the dark dimension is another dimension?
Well, what's the dark dimension? Where does that come from?
I think, there's several things, but I can't actually picture one. But how about the mirror dimension? Have you watched Doctor Strange?
Definitely not. You're going to have to give me a brief explanation.
Well, the mirror dimension is this world that is existing parallel to ours, that is unchanged. Like, whatever you do there doesn't change the real world, and it somehow resets every time you come back. And it's basically a place that you can trap people, and they can be existing in our universe, but not really being able to affect anything. And it's called the mirror dimension.
What about the quantum realm? Is that from Endgame, right? Or Ant-Man?
Yeah.
Is that considered to be a dimension for some?
I think it is a different dimension. Well, it depends on your definition of dimension, but I think it feels like another dimension. It's just looking at the way that gravity breaks down, and you have quantum gravity that we don't understand yet, which is explained by string theory in a certain way, which we'll get to in a little bit. But I think it just feels like another dimension. I don't know.
The quantum realm?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there's this short video of, who's the actor that plays Ant-Man?
Paul Rudd.
Yeah, him and Stephen Hawking go on a call, and he basically brags to Stephen Hawking because he brings up the topic of dimensions, and then he brags about have gone to the quantum realm. That's nice. That's all I wanted to say.
That's nice. I think I just want to talk about hell.
Yeah, hell.
Because we all know about it. Well, most of us do, and it's kind of this place of. And if we're gonna look at movie dimensions, this feels like. From what I can tell about movie dimensions, especially since there's not an actual definition for movie dimensions, it really feels like an actual dimension, It has different... I think a lot of movie dimensions is a place that is sort of like ours, but has different laws.
Yeah, well, they obviously, most of the time, wouldn't relate perfectly to scientific theory and laws.
Yeah.
That scientists have. It's usually just what the writers want.
But... It's hard to tell.
Yeah, well, I don't think most of them are really scientifically.
I don't think any of them are.
Oh, yeah, none of them really.
Because how can you have those dimensions and then have actual spatial and time dimensions? Like, what is that kind of dimension? Another kind of weird dimension?
Yeah, they just skipped a dimension apparently, and now they just brought up this new one.
Well, I don't know. Yeah. It's up to them.
It's up to them, really.
So I think that's gonna draw close to the first half.
Oh, we're just going to skip hell, really? You said you wanted to talk about hell?
I talked enough about it.
Talked enough about it?
I think, yeah. What I was trying to say is movie dimensions seem to be a place that are like ours, but with different...
different laws.
And the thing, same thing with hell. Hell feels, you know, the same, looks like, same spatial and time dimension. Well, time dimensions might be different.
Yeah. Who really knows? I mean, definitely the movie actors.
Combustion
don't.
Goes on forever there, so.
Who? The actors or the screenwriters could have been right all along. Who knows? They make the scientists look like fools.
I think one last thing to say. I think a lot of movies, the way they view dimensions is more like universes, a separate universe with separate rules of physics and everything, where they can just set it to their own parameters.
Yeah, so they really don't have to abide by the same rules and laws that are here, which is, I guess, it's a fair way to take it.
So we'll
they
be.
They can't really be wrong.
Yeah, they can't really be wrong. No one will be able to prove that. Unless, Zach, you want
to... Unless I want to go to the multiverse and...
Zach, we're going to head to the multiverse.
Yeah. New podcast coming from the multiverse, coming soon. Yeah, we'll be there. We'll tell you all about it, how fun it is there.
It's going to be fantastic, Zach.
Yeah.
We're going to be able to exist in a world where gravity just doesn't exist.
Yeah, fun.
And we'll be... what fun that will be. Or weak or strong nuclear force doesn't exist, and our atoms and electrons and protons just don't connect.
Yeah, that'd be fun. We'd all just split apart.
Yep.
Fun
well,
episode.
We wouldn't
soon.
Split apart because we wouldn't even be there in the first place.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So we'll be right back after this short break. Alright, we're back, and so we're on our second half, and this is where we get to talk about string theory, and this is something Zach has been wanting to do for quite a while.
Well, yeah, it's a very little-known topic, it's very interesting, and, well, it was a first attempt to describe everything, and, well, it kind of failed, but it hasn't fully failed, it works, but it Zach. Needs a little things, it needs a little help to work.
Yeah, we'll get into explaining why, but string theory was a thing that was supposed to help become a grand unified theory.
It was supposed to
explain everything, the theory of everything. It would, because famously we have sort of the grand unified theory, which is electromagnetic and the nuclear forces.
Yeah.
But
string theory.
Gravity doesn't work with it, because gravity particles, if particles...
Assumed
gravity particles. If they collided, they would release tons of energy, if I'm correct.
Yeah, and It doesn't work.
So string theory came up, and it was the thing that basically these strings were something that existed in really one dimension, but needed 10 dimensions. But one dimension is in the fact that they only have length.
Yeah,
and if you were looking at them from the top down, they were just a point, and this is why we'd say, oh, that's a particle.
Yeah, that's well, in string theory assumes that these particles, when you smash an atom, or at least combine two atoms together, and they separate into these particles that are basically, you can't see them, they're basically too small, you can't see them, you only see, like, the little outline of them, they assume that these are actually strings that are, it's a circle of a string.
Yeah.
And they're kind of forming, and they're vibrating and everything.
And the
but
different vibrations cause different atoms and different molecules.
Not atoms, but
so
particles.
Different particles to form.
Yeah. So basically, that's what it implies. And with this, this kind of, when they first thought of this, they're like, oh, wow, this actually kind of works. This explains everything and how everything is here.
Because the math really worked out. It actually...
The math
almost
checked
out. All the math really still works.
Yeah, but then a problem arose, and that problem was, well, when they finally came to plug in the equations, it didn't work for our three-dimensional universe. There was not
enough space.
Yeah, enough quote-unquote room for these strings to vibrate and fluctuate and just manifest and do the things that they thought they could do in a three-dimensional universe. They actually, because there's a bunch of different types of particles, they ended up, for all of these particles to do what they do, because we know they do the things they do,
we just don't know how.
We just don't know how, but we know they do it. And they ended up needing 10 or 11 different dimensions for there to be enough, quote-unquote again, room for it to work. And obviously, well, as far as we know now, there's only 4.
Yep.
And so we're still a bit behind on the if we can truly prove string theory to be correct. But it was really interesting right at the start when they first figured it out.
Because it had hope. Sense. And the thing is, it still does make mathematical sense.
The equations still work if you put...
The 10 dimensions.
Yeah, if you have the 10 dimensions to work with, but right now we don't.
I think the thing is, one of the best ways to look at it, if it did exist in a 10 dimension, it is a thing like a bird flying above a power line from a distance can only see really a string.
Yeah.
That's us. But an ant crawling on that power line, they see the full three-dimensional cylinder. They can tell that it has the height, width, and depth. Whereas, so I think that's the thing to think about. We're just probably too far out to be able to tell this if it even existed.
Yeah, well, of course, it's all
and the
predictions.
Thing is, so, Zach, why can't I actually see, like, particles?
Well, when you look at... Well, just I'll just explain seeing real quick. So seeing, basically, well, you need light, obviously. That's why you can't see when you turn the lights off. You need light, and all the light particles will bounce off objects and then go into your eyes, and then, of course, your brain makes an image with the with the light that's just entered your eyes. But we really underestimate, like, the true power our body has. Like, the fact that our brains are just so just incredibly smart and can do all these things that we just take for granted every day. It's really cool. And so these particles, they're so inconceivably small that the light doesn't even... It doesn't pick it up. Like, it basically can't... The light can't see it. Which is just... That just shows you how tiny it is. The light can't even see these particles. So, when the light can't see it, we definitely can't see it. But we can't see a sort of, like, haze of where they would be. In a way, yeah. That's kind of how it works. But then they tried, I think, with gamma rays. They tried to view it in gamma rays, but...
It's just too strong. It knocks.
Yeah, it kind of knocked. The way to do it with gamma rays, they had to really squish the gamma ray to make it wide enough, I think, to be able to actually hit the particle. But when they actually sent the gamma ray, because when you squish it, the energy builds up and it becomes like has a lot of energy. When the gamma ray actually collided with these particles, it just pushed them away because it had a lot of energy. So we still have yet to actually figure out what they look like. I think the one we have the most promise on is definitely the electron, which is one of these particles. And I think they've made a lot of just equations on the electron, and I think when they took the total percents of equations that were right and wrong, it was like basically 0.00000001% of them were wrong.
But that's not perfect. That means there's something wrong with it, Zach. No, it's not good enough, Zach. Science has to be perfect.
That's true, I guess.
Well, I mean, the goal is science, though. Theories have to be able to predict exactly...
Yeah, and if it's wrong in one area, then it usually isn't right everywhere.
Well, I think the thing is, if general relativity only describe... If it didn't work sometime, even a small percent of the time, infinitesimally small even... It still wouldn't make sense because, you wouldn't be able to use it because there'd be something wrong with it, and you have to figure out why is this wrong.
Yeah, and that's what's so great about general relativity. As far as we know, it's been 100% correct.
Except for it breaks down at the quantum level, where we just can't understand how quantum stuff and gravity work together.
That's string theory.
Now, yeah. I want to talk about something called the uncertainty principle, the Heisenberg uncertainty principle. And it's basically, the more you know about one quantity of...
Stuff,
the less you know about the other. This is,
if I learn a lot about something, I won't know a lot about other stuff?
About quantum things. So, if you know about, for example, it's...
The electron?
Position. Oh, if you learn about its position, that's the less you can know about its momentum.
I see.
Now, it's just a thing, we don't understand quantum physics. Obviously, we understand it very well for what we have, but there's still a lot of undiscovered room in it. And basically, the reason this kind of ties in to, string theory is because,
Well, string theory is at the quantum level.
Yeah. And... This can lead to, very odd and sort of unexpected results from quantum physics, which is why string theory seemed good and stuff, because...
Well, it turned out right most of the time.
It turned out, and mathematically right, as I bring up again and again. But...
It still can't always work, which is the problem that we have with it.
Like, for example, if you have a photon with high energy that hits a particle, you will have exactly what you need to observe the particle's position.
All right. So now we can see it.
But then it's going to give energy to the particle, which means its momentum will be different. Do you understand the uncertainty principle? This is why you can't actually see every time you look at a particle, it changes.
Right. So you see one thing,
sure,
but
you
the
find,
other thing won't.
You find that. Where it is.
But then you can't see how fast it's moving.
So, and if you like are looking for its momentum, you can throw off the position of it.
Yeah, so you can't have one factor, or you can have one factor, but you won't be able to have another factor.
Exactly, and it's very confusing, but this is one of the fundamental things about quantum physics.
Well, yeah, it's very still very unknown, but also very well known. And that's just, those two really don't go together. It's very known, but very unknown.
So I want to just try and sum up what we have today, because it's been sort of a semi-weird episode, I don't know.
Yeah, definitely hard to... understand for most people, and that's not, you're not.
It's probably going to end up being a little bit of a shorter episode, just.
Yeah, we can't fault you for not understanding it.
We can't fault you, especially because we don't understand it fully.
No one really does.
Our best to try and. So, anyways.
Yeah.
Here's our wrap up. I'm probably going to put a. It's probably too late to say this now, but I if you saw the thing in the comments that said skip to this time in order to.
Wrap it up, really?
In order to get to. You know, our overview, I don't know.
Quick overview? Oh no, we'll just make them watch it all.
We'll
make them watch it all.
Why not? Anyways, so I think the thing is, here, first, we live in a world with dimensions.
Yeah, that's a fact.
And now we live in with three spatial dimensions that we can see, and one space one. Although, there could be people who exist with different dimensionals, whether it be in our universe as a different pocket, or...
In a multiverse. So yeah.
Now, pop culture completely screws up dimensions.
Yeah, they have movie 4D, they have movies in 4D, and then they have in the movie 4D. So, that's definitely, it does not relate to science at all, but they gave it their best. Gave it their best shot.
Except they didn't.
Except they really didn't.
They wanted to suit their storylines.
Yeah, they're very far off. But besides the point, a movie 4D is definitely not 4D in reality.
Unless it is.
Unless it is, and we're just completely wrong. But
but anyways, string theory is a thing that is supportive. So okay. Now while we're on the topic of dimensions, which is the point of this episode, what's it called?
String theory dimensions.
Sorry. So string theory is a thing that uses a different set of dimensions to help explain why gravity breaks down when we reach the quantum level.
Yeah, it's, well, because general relativity had been right everywhere except for in string theory.
Where it breaks down at the quantum level.
So they tried to bring in a new formula and a new equation to try and solve that problem.
Now, this is obviously string theory, but string theory is the fact that there are particles, but instead of particles, there are actually strings that vibrate. And they needed more space in order for these to actually exist.
Yeah. Quote-unquote room.
Quote-unquote room.
Which are
with
these
the
dimensions.
10 dimensions. And now in another episode, we talked about time travel again. String theory. There is a theory about strings. These strings being able to tie across the universe and opening up...
Portals.
Like,
those are kind of...
They keep open the portals, but this is very speculative on that part.
Yeah, that's a very just speculation on whether or not that could be possible. It's not really... definitely not confirmed or denied. Confirmed.
However, there is the fact that string theory works very well mathematically. Although we can never prove, because we don't really live in a 10-dimensional world. But however, there are some things that you cannot prove until you see them. I mean, Hawking radiation, have we been able to ever observe that?
Well, I think that's why that's why there was the breakthrough, because Hawking finally made his I don't think anyone's
but
actually...
But it works mathematically.
Works mathematically.
We have to trust a lot of stuff, like 2 plus 2 equals 4. If we didn't actually trust that... I mean, I can show you right now, but imagine if I couldn't actually show you that. We have to trust the mathematics, and if the math works at a certain point...
It's usually trusted to be true.
We have to trust it to be true. Now, a big reason that we won't be able to prove if this is true or not, it just comes down to the uncertainty principle, as I talked about just a few minutes ago. But just to sum it up, basically, you can only, the more you know about one aspect of a particle, the less you can know about the other. So momentum and position. Position, you fire a high energy beam that hits it.
It'll move it around, right?
You've increased the energy, and that means its momentum is different. However, at least you know where it is, right?
You got one of it, right? But you don't have the other.
Now, vice versa, I think, is, you know, you want to see where its momentum is, so you can somehow observe that. But I don't know the exact example, but you've moved the position of it in order to get its momentum.
So basically, you can't have one factor of it without the other. Somehow, some way.
By the way, guys, I hope you enjoy the lovely sound of these chairs.
Yeah, the squeaky chairs, they've been here for the long run. It's really fun having all the squeaky chairs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really fun.
Yeah, really fun.
So anyways, I think that's a pretty good sum up for...
Yeah, just to take away from it. If there is a fourth dimension, which, well, there is, but if it really has... There's really no big significant impact to your average everyday Joe, I don't think...
But I think the thing really is, the reason string theory is still not the most corroborated thing is because point theory, or whatever it's called, works very well, and it's helped create so many new tech. It's helped create a lot of new technology.
Yeah.
But
string theory also has helped in other areas.
Well, it's helped mathematically, and I think one of the best examples I've heard about why it's important is because if you want to build a boat. A huge cruise ship.
Yeah, like a big 2-ton.
And you have a rowboat. Well, right away you say that robot's not the same.
Yeah, but the rowboat will it's definitely not the same.
But it operates on the same principles.
They both float.
They both float. They both are ships. And you could analyze it and hopefully you find something that will help you discover how to build the cruise ship.
Yeah. Somewhere in those blueprints of building the rowboat, you might discover some similarities from the cruise ship.
So, guys, I apologize for how weird today's episode was. I'm not feeling the best today, but, you know, it came out. I love doing this podcast, so I'm happy you guys got to hear this.
Yeah. Take away from this what you will. There could be 4 dimensions. There could be 10. There could be 100,000 for all we know.
And we just can't see them.
Yeah, we just can't see them.
I think most of us will be content living in the 3 that we live in, plus the 4th space dimension.
Yeah, I'm happy where I am now.
So,
Yeah.
Zach, anything else to say?
No, I think that's it. Hopefully you have a great rest of your day in your 3-dimensional world, or 4-dimensional world, wherever you are in the moment.
And,
but is there a moment? That's the thing. Dimensions. Dimensions.
So yeah, safe and fantastic day, everyone. And catch you guys in another episode.
Goodbye.